We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Yeah, I think, this is something I've said since I was in college. We never had it, but I think, like, maybe some music would help. But we have music in the warm-ups, and that's always fun. People are dancing, having fun, so I think maybe music would make practice a little more fun and a little more up-tempo. That's my one suggestion, but Coach T's been doing this a lot longer than I have. So,
Chase Claypool. Play, have Alexa, play EDM music.
Play Chainsmokers.
At practice, that's his solution. After the Steelers got killed yesterday by the Bengals, if you sat through the whole thing, congratulations, you're a true fan, and also a masochist, and also someone that's probably staring into the deep beyond wondering, what's next for the Steelers after a loss like that? I think you've got really a dead end. You're at a point where I think Tomlin is probably in the crosshairs, and look, he's gotten all kinds of slings and arrows and criticisms and stuff, Chris, but we've reached a point where we've got second-year players that are like, if I may, let me raise my hand and say, Coach, I think I know what the problem is.
That whole clip had just unbelievable, like, Jeff Spicoli vibes or something like that. Like, hey, Coach, have you considered music?
I mean, compare that to Minkah Fitzpatrick, who is not at a good year.
Fought Chase Claypool at practice.
Did have an interception yesterday. This is what he thinks the Steelers need.
There's certain things that change how we move throughout the week. You know, whether that be getting more reps in practice, whether that be, you know, going at a faster pace during walkthroughs. And that's just my personal opinion. I haven't really discussed it thing, but yet. But no, I think that's kind of a lot of people feel the same way about that.
A lot of people feel the same way. Got to take practice more seriously, faster pace, tougher reps, that kind of thing. We've reached a point, Chris, where we've got Steelers players who think their problem is how they get ready for games. How they get themselves prepared and keyed up and ready to go for games.
I mean, what else are they going to say? We just suck? I guess you could. That would be remarkably honest of them.
Yeah.
Somehow Claypool and Fitzpatrick get to at least somewhat of the same point. We think the tempo of practice. Claypool thinks it can be accomplished, upping the tempo via the magic of music. Fitzpatrick, who I think desperately wants to be the kind of player that Ryan Clark is talking about, is in short supply anymore on their roster. Fitzpatrick is just saying we need to stop practicing like our heads are buried up our...
Let's do people a favor that are getting out of work.
Oh, boy.
And just give them the Ryan Clark rant.
They deserve it.
That they're not my beloved Steelers anymore. Nobody's scared to play this team. There's absolutely no physicality. There's no energy defensively. There's no tone setters. You have one of the best playmaking free safeties in football at Minkah Fitzpatrick. And you know what he is? He's a fifth linebacker because you won't tackle anybody in the run. Joe Mixon is flexing, storing football into the stands. You know why? Because y'all don't scare nobody. Because it ain't about putting your face mask on somebody else's face mask. It's not about upholding what Joe Green did, what Lambert did. It's not about doing what James Harrison did, Casey Hampton, James Ferrier, Troy Polamalu. Those days are gone. We want to be cute, right? We want to make videos. We want to do TikToks. We want to dance in the locker room. We want to be the team that everybody loves to be around. We want to make jokes. We want to smile. We want to have fun. Pittsburgh football ain't about having fun. Pittsburgh football is about dominating people people on the field because of your physicality. But that ain't what y'all want. What y'all want to do is y'all want to show up and y'all want to live on the back of legends. Don't nobody care about that no more, right? Young people aren't respectful to the past. In the past, Pittsburgh was something. This Pittsburgh defense ain't jack. And I ain't talking about Jack Lambert. I ain't talking about Jack Ham. I'm talking about Jack, and you know the rest of the word. Y'all ain't that. And so now, when Pittsburgh shows up to the stadiums, people like Joe Burrow, people like Joe Mixon, people like T. Higgins, you know what they do? They call their girlfriends, they call their wives, and they say, baby, you got to show up to this game. You know why? Because we're going to win fantasy football for somebody because they ain't stopping a nosebleed. You better change something, you better do something, or this will be Mike Tomlin's first losing season.
And that's an attack on Tomlin. The two things that Clark calls out in that clip, that rant, that tirade, the culture of the team and the defense. Those are Tomlin's calling cards. Those are Tomlin's two things as a head coach. What does he bring to your team? What is he famous for? What are his Hall of Fame credentials, incredible resume? What are they built upon? Defense, that's his backbone, that's his background. Culture.
I think there's a lot of validity to the criticism of Mike Tomlin that when he came in as a coach in his mid-30s, what, 34, I want to say, when he took over the Steelers.
Yeah, that's right.
So 2 years younger than I am and a year plus younger than you are, that he, one of the biggest gifts he sort of had with that roster was that especially on the defensive side, it was a bunch of no-nonsense ass-kickers that he inherited. Guys who did not need to be told, like, hey, this is how to act as a professional in the NFL. Because they had been there, done that. Or if they were rookies, they picked up the script very quickly. Your Lawrence Timmons or Lamar Woodley. When you walk in and you're probably worried at his juncture, you've been a DC 1 year in your life before that, about like, hey, how do I make sure these guys respect me, whatever. And you don't really have to do that because you just show up to work and they're already at that level for you. You never had to, in his case, he never had to figure out how to get through to a guy who maybe doesn't feel that kind of way inherently about football. He had James Ferrier in the middle of the defense, not Devin Bush. He didn't have a wide receiver, to my knowledge, early on there. He might have had Santonio causing problems post-Super Bowl. But he had Hines Ward, who was trying to break people's faces. Not Chase Claypool saying, can we get the Macarena at practice?
Yeah, but here's the problem I have with, like, that whole idea of, like, Tomlin walked into a situation where he didn't have to be, like, the supreme leader because there were already guys that were great leaders on the team who also happened to still be very good players. It's not like Tomlin is Marvin Lewis in Cincinnati where he is this old, stodgy, frankly, cheap owner who's saying, I'm going to give you Vontaze Burfict, Pac-Man Jones, and you just find a way to make it work with these insane guys. I'm getting them for cheaper because they've got a screw loose. You handle this, Marvin. Like, that's why I'm paying you millions of dollars a year to figure this out. Tomlin's, like, picking the team. He had to look at Devin Bush and say, not only do I like what I see on tape from this guy when I watch him play football, I want to look at him as someone that, like, embodies what it is to be a Steeler. He helped make that call. I mean, they got it right with Hayward and Watt. I think both of those guys are complete package players, like you're saying. They're not just really good. They also probably, you know, adhere to some of those fabric-defining traits that you're talking about with, like, old Steelers.
Think about how long ago Hayward was drafted, and think about the football family that Watt comes from.
I'm saying, like, Tomlin does not have these things thrust or foisted on him. Like, he is picking.
I guess I want to make it clear. Can I make it clear that my point was not, like, that there is validity to the idea that he walked into a situation with a bunch of established veterans, but that makes me wonder, despite all of the talk from him that sounds really good, the copy that he gives people that, oh, wow, Mike Tomlin, a unique perspective. I'm wondering how good he is at actually fostering that professional culture. He loves to talk about it ad infinitum. We're men, we're pros, doing a professional thing. We're doing a job. Man, that sounds more like lip service than ever when you hear some of his guys basically just sound like they're there on vacation. Hey, coach, I wish we could have more music at practice. How about balloons, too?
Well, when you hear him talk, like, it's unique and it's different and it's kind of refreshing.
It sounds businesslike.
No, but I'm saying with Tomlin, like, his unique way of talking, it's great when he's in year one, two, three, or four. When the team is losing and you're hearing those same copy points and silly ways to describe things, like Hurdle, they just get stale and old and, frankly, like, tiresome. There's a lot. Yeah, I just wonder.
Stale is the word I would use to describe him right now.
I just wonder with Tomlin, too, like, they give him so much agency as head coach of this team. The Steelers put more stock in a head coach than any organization in professional sports because they never fire the guy. They believe that the continuity of the coach is above all else, that that's like where their Steelers culture and Steelers way and Steelers tradition comes from. It's from the coach on down. You know, maybe Tomlin is too much on his plate. Maybe Tomlin should just stick to one thing. We just had a Didi on last hour say, Keith Butler, to the best of her knowledge, has never called the defense or designed a defense. So that means Tomlin's what? The head coach and the defensive coordinator, right?
Mm-hmm.
What does he do in the offseason? He's basically a de facto co-GM.
Scouts a ton of players.
He's out there going to pro days and scouting and everything.
It's reasonable to assume if they are drafting a defensive player first in the first or second round or anywhere, really, he has extra input on that.
Right. I'm just saying they've given so much over to him. They've given him so much. And I think sometimes it gets to be too much. You know,
I don't think many good coaches also call plays for their teams. Honestly. I guess Belichick calls the defense, but he is a de facto defensive coordinator.
This kid who's making those weird faces and noises and stuff on the sideline.
He looks like a drifter. Has Belichick, to your understanding, called their defense play to play, though? Or does he get involved in the overall schematics and the big decisions?
I don't think they have anybody on their team who's even technically labeled like their defensive coordinator.
Right, like
it's a collaboration thing.
Yeah, so it's a collaborative effort. I don't know. Peyton calls the plays in New Orleans, right? Stefanski's still calling them for the Browns. They look like a disaster offensively.
I just think when you are defensively so inept, when your team is sputtering the way that it is, and it doesn't feel like a blip on the radar, it doesn't feel like just a losing streak, it actually feels like things are kind of the finality, kind of the death rattle of the Steelers with Tomlin and Ben Roethlisberger is starting to set in. I think it forces you to kind of like look at these broader things with the way they operate and do business.
They're stale. You said it in that whole rant there about Mike Tomlin and that whole dissertation about what is and what isn't. You said the word stale. That is the word I come back to more than anything else. I think he is a good football coach. I thought Joe wrote the best column I've seen about the best postmortem for that game yesterday. He pointed out he is a good football coach. Anyone that's going to try to slander him and say he sucks, he's never done anything of consequence, is wrong. He's good, but he's stale, and sometimes a guy can be a good coach, but the wrong coach for a certain situation. And I feel like we are ever closer to that point. Right now, we are closer to that point with Mike Tomlin and the Steelers than we have ever been before. Because the main thing I think about when I think about him continuing to be on the job to almost the degree of coach emeritus is, if nothing's changed by this point, why would anything change in the future other than they have to go out and find a new quarterback because Ben doesn't come back next year, which he shouldn't? What else is going to change? Here's another thing. Here's not a rhetorical question. Here's one I want to ask directly to you.
Mm-hmm.
If they crater here and go 5-11-1 or 6-10-1, right, and they look like the back half of the season from the Bears game really onward, like one of the worst teams in football, do you think Mike Tomlin, a man who has known nothing but success in the NFL, can look in the mirror and say, holy crap, this really sucked. I've got to do things differently. Not just pay lip service to them, really make the honest, difficult effort to do things differently. I don't know if he can, because he's never had to. And there certainly isn't going to be pressure from the owner's box to say, you need to. If his seat isn't warm after a humiliation like that, and like what this rest of this season is going to look like, when will it be?
And how do you attract? Like, how do you get? They don't pay assistant coaches diddly
squat.
Well,
that's where they give. You said that Marvin Lewis had to deal with like cheap players who were talented but crazy. Tomlin's got to deal with cheap coaches who are past their primes and don't do anything.
So they have the lowest payroll for assistant coaches in the entire NFL. How do you get somebody like? Let's say one of the scapegoats is, we're pushing Keith Butler out of here.
Okay.
He's been here for a long time, out with the old and with the new. All right, we're going to ask for people to come in here and be the defensive coordinator. Oh, by the way, you're not actually going to do any of the things that come with being a defensive coordinator because Tomlin handles all that. It's going to say defensive coordinator, but you're never going to call plays. You're not actually going to like be in charge of the defense. That's what our head coach does. So good luck finding. You don't pay a lot. And good luck finding someone that just wants the title and not the actual job, right? So there's one. How about this?
This is a dead end. Nobody from this coaching tree ever goes anywhere.
How about this? One of the things about Tomlin that's excited me this year is that I've looked at the Aaron Rodgers thing and I've thought, well, if Aaron Rodgers loves Mike Tomlin and Mike Tomlin loves Aaron Rodgers, maybe they can get him here. And all of the problems that we're talking about get minimized or neutralized or negated by the fact that you have one of the best quarterbacks in the entire NFL. Well, you think Aaron Rodgers is going to want to come to a team if your scenario plays out? This guy pretty much has his pick of the litter. You think he's going to want to come to a team that won five or six games with the defense playing the way that it is? I mean,
Would he rather come here, and this sounds inconceivable to me, it would have sounded inconceivable to me a couple weeks ago. Would he rather go to Denver, a team that I left for dead, so did most people, that looks anything but suddenly?
I just like...
You tell me.
Inevitably, now that Roethlisberger is aged out and is done, it puts even more pressure on Tomlin to do his job well. Because he's got to navigate the Steelers through this awkwardness when you have a quarterback that's on his last legs, and how you transition to the next guy that is going to make you a long-term
contender.
Yeah. And I'm telling you right now, like, Tomlin's not passing that test for me at the moment. Now, maybe he did 2 years ago when he won games with Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph, and they were without Ben, they were still a pretty good team. But at the moment, like, I'm taking stock of what he's saying and what he's doing and the decisions that he's made lately, and I'm like, not excited about it or impressed.
Since they started 11-0 last year, they're 6-10-1 over 17 games. 6-10-1, and they look like one of the worst teams in football. And I don't, you know, I was reading something up on Nick Saban, who, you know, I put below a lot of successful NFL coaches because of the nature of the beast there. That's my personal opinion, but he's the best college coach of all time.
Yep.
And one of the things I have come to appreciate about a guy that I generally don't like in Nick Saban is that he has constantly tried to stay ahead of the evolution of college football. When he knows like he needs to do things differently, he does. He hires Lane Kiffin. He goes after quarterbacks. He says, offense is the rule of the day. I'm going to become offensive. He changes. He adapts. I detect very little adaptation by Mike Tomlin. I detect, and this is kind of going back to the crux of what I started this hour saying, I detect a guy who came in with a bunch of veterans who was the perfect coach at the perfect time to maximize those guys after Cowher had maybe gotten stale and he got him a Super Bowl and never really adjusted the script. I'm always going to have consummate professionals in here. I'm just going to do my thing and that'll be fine. It's not. You need to change. You need to adapt. You need to look in the mirror and say, hey, Mike, what's happening isn't good enough and won't be good enough. I don't know if he will, though.
412-928-9370. I think this is last call. Donnie, you still, Donnie football guy, you still stay at the bar until last call?
Oh.
You still a guy that will close down a Southside bar?
Yeah, when's
bar
the last
two?
Time you heard the bartender say, hey, last call?
They're cleaning up. You're still finishing up a drink.
So I do that rarely. I honestly don't do that as much as you might think.
Wait a minute. Why would you assume
I know you guys
think
I'm a drunkard. I'm actually not.
Yeah.
Contrary
I know you guys
to popular
think I
belief,
love bar fights, that I am just Roadhouse all over again.
I do live above that kind of establishment, which that sort of helps out. I can kind of just do whatever. And
it's a harmless, it's a harmless stumble up
yeah,
the steps.
Yeah, be able to just walk upstairs. So sometimes there, but
that's about it.
Yeah.
Last call here today, 412-928-9370 to get in on this Steelers debacle. What it means, what's next. Where do the Steelers go from here? The worst of what was yesterday, an embarrassingly awful loss to a team that you're used to beating, 41-10. 412-928-9370. We'll take some of your calls. We're here until 6.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.